Our preaching series this summer is inviting us to explore the parables of Jesus, stories that baffle and bless. This series is taking us back to the first century so that we can discover what the parables meant to Jesus' first disciples. And then we return to the 21st century to discern what they mean for us today. We started with the parable of the Good Samaritan and discovered how Jesus used that parable to challenge his disciples. He challenged them. He challenges us to acknowledge the potential goodness that lies within those we think only have the capacity for evil. And then last week, we dug into the parable of the mustard seed and found another challenge. The parable of the mustard seed challenges us to remember that it is not the potential of our faith that matters most. It is the impact our faith has in the world. The kingdom of God isn't just about the teeny tiny little bit of faith we hold in our hearts. The kingdom of God is about the way we live out our faith and make a difference in the world. Now, this week, we'll be turning to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and delving into the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. When we read this parable, we often understand Jesus as saying that ultimately the Pharisee is bad and the tax collector is good and God is great because God can take even a sinful tax collector and make him good. But that's not how listeners in the first century would have heard it. Let's see what we can learn from this parable if we let go a bit of this traditional interpretation and let the story be a bit more complicated. Let's start by listening for the word of God in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Someone once said that parables are like fishing lures. They're full of attractive features like feathers and bright colors, but they end with a sharp little barb. Today's scripture reading is one of those parables. It seems to start out innocently enough. Two men go up to the temple in Jerusalem to pray. One is righteous and one is a sinner. One is honored as a leader and respected as a teacher, and the other is despised as a collaborationist with Rome. One has done an abundance of good deeds and prays a prayer of thanksgiving. The other is a self-identified sinner, and he prays for mercy. And so the interpretation here seems cut and dry because this is a parable, and we know that parables often do the unexpected. So we're prepared for this to be a simple story of reversals, right? Where the sinner turns out to be a saint, and the saint turns out to be a sinner. We see the Pharisee as a self-righteous, judgmental hypocrite, and the tax collector as the sinful but humble collaborationist who ends up justified in the end. And if we have to take our place in this parable, if we have to choose which character we want to be, it's obvious, right? Who would choose to be the Pharisee? It's clearly better to be the repentant tax collector than the self-righteous Pharisee. But this is where that sharp little barb comes in. Because that is exactly the kind of dualistic thinking Jesus intended to challenge with this parable. The sharp little barb gets us because we so easily fall prey to the temptation to divide ourselves from others. As soon as we start thinking that we are faithful and others are not, that we are humble and others not so humble, that we are compassionate and others not compassionate enough, whenever we draw a line between us and them, we are doomed. Anytime we draw a line between who's in and who's out, this parable pricks us with that little barb and challenges us to think differently about what Jesus is doing here. So let's back up just a little bit and start by acknowledging this. Very often, in our Christian interpretations of Scripture, we have come to see Pharisees as negative figures. We see them as symbols of a system Jesus came to destroy. We say they are too focused on following the rules, that they are only concerned with the letter of the law, and we contrast this focus on rules and righteousness with Jesus' message about love and light and healing and hope and kindness and compassion. If we compare the Pharisees and Jesus, Jesus always wins. But here's the thing. First century Jews would not have seen the Pharisees in a negative light. For them, the Pharisees were highly respected community leaders who provided examples of what it meant to live as people of faith. The Pharisees were the guys who not only talked the talk, but who walked the walk. When Jesus' followers heard this parable, with the Pharisee who prayed about how good he was and how many good things he had done, they wouldn't have responded with surprise or with scorn. If anything, they might have thought Jesus was making a little joke about a saintly man who was praying about how he was the saintliest saint who ever sainted, right? Because he fasted more than he had to and gave more money than he had to. But it wouldn't have crossed their minds that that saint was a sinner. And on the flip side, they wouldn't have thought the tax collector was much of a saint at all. For first century Jews, tax collectors were agents of Roman oppression, not examples at all of God's redemption. They were Jews who collected taxes from their own people to support the system of Roman occupation. They were seen as corrupt and dishonest and greedy. They were seen as traitors. So what's surprising about Jesus' parable isn't the prayer of the Pharisee, it's the presence of the tax collector. What's shocking is that the person who works for the government that abuses the temple system has the audacity to show up in the temple and pray. That is what would have been unsettling to Jesus' followers, because if the tax collector shows up in the temple to pray, then he is indeed worthy of God's redemption. The whole purpose of the temple is to provide a system where people can atone for their sins and receive God's mercy. And that would have been a hard pill for Jesus' followers to swallow. Because who wants to see a traitor receive the gift of God's grace? And now here is the real kicker with this story. After Jesus sets up his parable with the Pharisee on the one hand and the tax collector on the other, our English translations of Scripture have Jesus saying this: "I tell you, this man," meaning the tax collector, right? "This man went down to his home justified rather than the other." But the original Greek word we hear translated as "rather than" can also be translated as "next to" or "alongside." And if that is the case, maybe Jesus wasn't trying to say that only one of the men who went up to the temple to pray could go home justified. Maybe both of them could. And that is a different lesson, isn't it? What if Jesus really said this: "I tell you, this man went home justified alongside the other"? And that's the sharp little barb at the end of this parable, isn't it? Because it challenges us to let go of our dualistic thinking. If both men go home justified alongside each other, then this parable is not about choosing a side. Once we judge either the Pharisee or the tax collector to be better than the other, we get trapped by this parable. Because this parable is not about how a saint is really a sinner or how a sinner can become a saint. It is about the incredible love and mercy of God that is available to us all, no matter whether we are sinners or saints or somewhere in between. And we are so happy when that gift of God's grace is poured out upon us, aren't we? And if we're honest, we are less happy when that grace is poured out upon those other people: the thieves, the rogues, the adulterers, the tax collectors, the sinners. We are less happy when God's grace is poured out upon the people we think are unworthy of God's love because of what they believe or how they live or who they love or how they vote or what memes they post on Facebook. Of course, we want free access to God's grace, but it can be really hard to know that everyone else has the same access we do. That is maddening at times, and it is humbling. Maybe when Jesus says that all who exalt themselves will be humbled and all who humble themselves will be exalted, he's not talking about the Pharisee and the tax collector at all. Maybe he's talking about us. Maybe he's inviting us to humble ourselves before the God who redeems the Pharisee and the tax collector alike. The God who loves the saint and the sinner alike. The God who pours out grace upon the worthy and the unworthy alike. Maybe Jesus knows we will see that kind of redemption and love and mercy as beautiful and as maddening both at the same time. So maybe Jesus is inviting us to let go of our need to figure out who deserves God's grace and who doesn't. Maybe he just wants us to trust that whenever we come into the presence of the Lord together, no matter who we are, no matter who else is here, when we come into the presence of the Lord together, we all get to go home justified alongside each other. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn